devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Those days, when the believers were together, they were always committing and devoting themselves to the teachings the apostles were giving them. And they were always fellowshipping by breaking bread together. They were breaking bread, eating together, and they were always praying together. And this is what I call the fellowship. Now, the second time koinonia was used in the Bible was in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. I want us to look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 13. And I read. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I read. Okay, let me start from verse 12. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saint, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. So you see, in this context, we see koinonia, where they were not only confessing the gospel of Christ, but the Bible says that the generosity of their contribution. So they were making contributions. They were giving. Nobody was holding on. Everybody was giving. Because your wealth is not in how much you accumulate. Your wealth is in how much you are able to give. When you want to measure the value of a man, the value of a man is not measured in how much he has, but the value of a man is measured in how much the man can give. If you can give to society, if you can give to someone, if you can give to the community, then you are a valuable person, because a valuable person is measured by how much contribution they make. And that is the definition of what we call koinonia. So this was the second time the word koinonia was used. So it means that when we talk about koinonia, we are talking about sharing, communion, joint participation, a gift that is jointly distributed, or contribution. That is what we mean by koinonia. That is what we mean by fellowship. Now, there are three levels of fellowship that every Christian must walk in. There are three levels of fellowship that every Christian must walk in. Now, the first level of fellowship is what I call the level of spiritual intimacy. Intimacy. Romans chapter 5 verse 10. Let us read Romans chapter 5 verse 10. Romans chapter 5 verse 10. I want to share with you Romans 5 verse 10. Let's look at the first level of fellowship that God has called all of us into. Now, the Bible said in Romans chapter 5 verse 10, it says that, "For if while we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." Now, I want you to watch me. Listen. In the version we just read, the Bible is telling us that when we were enemies, and I want you to grab this, this is the big one. When you and I were enemies, in other words, when we were sinners and we had not yet believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that through the death of Jesus Christ, we were reconciled. We were brought together. This is what I call the first level of koinonia, the first level of fellowship. And this is an advantage. So, if we were sinners and we were brought together, it means that As we speak right now, everyone under the sound of my voice, as we speak right now, there is no gap between you and God. Let me take it again. There is no gap between you and God. When you are sitting down, you are sitting with God. When you are traveling in a train, you are traveling with God. When you are walking, you are walking with God. When you are sleeping, you are sleeping with God. When you are studying with God. When you are going to church, you go to church with God. Everywhere you find yourself, you are with God, because through the death of Christ, we have been reconciled. Reconciliation means that we have been brought together. There is a union. There is an intimacy between you and God. And listen, this did not happen when you became born again. This happened when we were still sinners. This happened when Jesus died on the cross and he brought us together. It didn't happen when you came to church. It happened when you were still enemies. The Bible said when we were enemies, not when we were friends. When we were still enemies, the Bible said we were reconciled to God. My God. So that is why you don't have to be afraid. That is why you don't have to settle for something less. Because greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Somebody shout hallelujah. So we have been reconciled with God. And this is the first level of fellowship. You are not alone, sister, brother, you are not alone. You have God with you. Wherever you go, you carry God. And you are the divine carriers of God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit himself has been given to you when you were still enemies with God. You were reconciled. You were one with God. Now, the second level of fellowship can be seen in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Verse 1 to 4. My God. I love this one so much. The Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, the Bible said, on the day of Pentecost, when they were gathered in the upper room, the Holy Spirit filled them and they began to speak in tongues. And this was the initial evidence that they had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And this speaking in tongues or the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the second level of koinonia. It's the second level. So when you are not, if you are a Christian, the first level you are there, but you need to graduate to the second level where you experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is when the Holy Spirit is, you are submerged in the Holy Spirit, and the initial evidence is that you begin to speak in an unknown tongue. That is the second level of koinonia. And one of the mistakes a lot of us do is that when we get to the second level, we end there. We don't progress to the third level. Now let's go to the third level. The third level is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 13. The Bible said, for in one spirit were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. So the third level of koinonia is what I call one spirit to drink. One spirit to drink. Drink of one spirit. To drink of one spirit is what I call the third level of koinonia. After you have been reconciled, you understand. The next thing is that you experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the third thing is to drink from the Spirit. Oh, I love this. You see, the more you drink of the Spirit, the more you become refreshed. The more your spirit man begins to grow. The more you are able to know more about God, you understand God, you know the voice of God. Why? Because you are able to drink of the Holy Spirit. You are able to drink. And sometimes as Christians, once we go to the first and the second level, we forget about the third level. You see, if every day you can make up your mind to spend time with God, that is what I call the drinking of the Spirit. When you spend time in the Word of God, when you spend time in prayer, what you are doing is that you are drinking of the one Spirit. And the drinking of the one Spirit will always make you refreshed. It will always make you strong. It will always make you powerful. You will feel the presence of God all around you. That is what I call drinking from the one Spirit. Am I talking to somebody here? Am I talking to somebody here? You see, there is something about the reconciliation. That is also what we call the new birth. It is what we call the new birth. Now, when you look at the word reconcile, the word reconcile comes from the word we call katalasso. I want you to repeat the word after me. Katalasso.
Katalasso.
Can we say it again? Katalasso.
Katalasso.
Now, the word katalasso means to exchange something. So, it means to exchange. So it means that there is a mutual exchange. Something leaves me and enters you. And something leaves you also and enters me. That is what we mean by reconciliation. When we say reconciliation that Jesus did for us, it is not just about you coming to God, but it is also about God coming to you. My God. It is not just about you being in Christ, but it's about Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. And so you see, it is about the natural entering the supernatural, for the supernatural to enter the natural. It is when humanity enters into divinity and divinity enters into humanity. Listen, as an Greek student, there is something I did in a Greek, and we call it burden, or you can say rehabilitation. Now, in rehabilitation, when you want to do rehabilitation, one of the things we do is called burden. When, you know, we bring the bud of a seedling and we cut the other tree and join them together. So at the end of the day, this was a different plant altogether, but we have been able to graft it into another plant. And by the means of grafting, something in the parent plant will enter that young bud which has been attached to the tree. People of God, when Jesus was brought us to God, we didn't only come to God, but something about God entered us. There was an impartation of the divine nature. And that is what the Bible talks about the divine nature, that we are partakers of the divine nature. So there is something about God in you, and there is something about you that is in God. And that, what God did was that God took away all your weaknesses. God took all your shortcomings. God took your inabilities. God took your limitations. God took your disgrace. He took your disappointment and rather gave you appointment. He took your disgrace and gave you his glory. He took your poverty and gave you his riches. God took what you are not able to do and he gave you abilities upon abilities. All of these are the workings of the Holy Spirit. So when you are a Christian, after you are reconciled with God, you are already one with God. As I talk right now, everyone under the sound of my voice, you are already united with God. There is no gap between you and God. What it means is that anything God can do, you can also do. Anything God can say, you can also say. Anywhere God can go, you can also go. What God cannot achieve, you cannot do it. But I am here to declare over your life, after this morning's service, I see you doing the mighty things. I see you doing impossibilities. I see you going higher and higher in God. I see the Lord releasing his power, his spirit upon you. Wherever you are, receive this impartation. May you be imparted right now. Receive the impartation of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. My God. My God. My God. I want you to open your mouth and pray. If you can stand to your feet, that would be good. I want you to just lift up your hands. We are praying and we are telling God, oh God, give us the impartation of your spirit. Pour your spirit upon us. Let us have a supernatural advantage. May we have a fellowship of the Holy Ghost. I want you to open your mouth and begin to pray.
In the name of Jesus.
Father, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for the lives of your people. I pray the Holy Spirit, you continue to reveal yourself unto us. May we walk with you. You have told us that we are reconciled with you. You've told us that we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you said we should drink from that one spirit. From today, may we be thirsty and hungry, that we'll be drinking from this one spirit, that all the days of our lives will operate from a supernatural advantage. We thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sacrifice.